Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So this week, we continue in our Saving Grace sermon series, and our scripture references this morning, the first comes from the book of Romans, from the 13th chapter, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Our second scripture is from the Gospel according to Matthew from the 5th chapter, selected verses. Hear now these words. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God. These are the words of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, thank you for the gift of this day, for this continuing journey of receiving your grace and what it means to us to be good stewards of the finances entrusted into our care. Today, as we enter in to talk about one more troublesome area in everyday life, that surrounding debt, be with us. Calm our spirits, allow our ears to hear, and our hearts to be open to what you have to say to us today. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So let's do a little recap of where we are with Saving Grace. So in August, as a congregation, it's taken a while, but we finally got into a place where we had a really good understanding of where the church finances were. And many of you received a letter saying, here's where we are, this is where we ought to be, how do we move towards that? Taking in a whole lot of factors, and I said, okay, well, usually in the fall, most churches do a stewardship campaign, and we say, and now having heard this about how we are not to store our treasures here on earth, but to put our treasures in heaven, we then ask you to make pledges and commit to your financial tithes for the following year. But sometimes we get lost in that when we are just trying to make it day to day. So we began with John Wesley's sermon, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can, because John Wesley loves to give us three rules similar to do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. And so we started to really think about what does it mean to earn and earn well in our lives in the everyday. And then what does it mean to save? You know, what does saving look like for us? What does it look like to give? And we talked a little bit about the tithe and how that's 10%. And if we portion it out, you know, 10% goes to God and then 10% goes to your retirement fund. But, you know, one of the things from that particular week was you forgot to talk about taxes. Yes. Which then even further reduces the amount of take home that you have, right? And we also talked a little bit about how our systems are that a living wage requires that you make $22 an hour or more. And the reality that is for most is that they're not making that. So how do you survive and make sure that your everyday needs are covered in those types of circumstances? And then when you go through transition, like retirement, or you lost a job, or you're underemployed, or you're trying to go from two incomes to one income, and now you have kids and childcare expenses, like, we could go on and on and on and on about all of the different factors that affect your everyday life as it regards finances. And the thing with finances is it can cause us a lot of anxiety. Anxiety and energy that we spend in that may take away from the joy of life, of being able to live the way God calls us to live, which then really means, well, what does it mean to have enough? Because enough would be the basic needs. Do you have a place to live? Meaning, do you have shelter? Do you have food to eat? I mean, Miss Kathy talked about World Hunger Awareness Day, that there are those who do not have sufficient food, and the food that they do have is not nutritionally well suited for thriving. So you need good health, right? But then when we're faced with having to juggle health insurance costs or medication costs or doctor's visits, sometimes we'll put that off because to go get a tooth crown might cost us $4,000 to $5,000 if we're not adequately insured, right? So we need good health, and then we need do we need something else? Am I leaving something out? Clothing. We need to not be naked. Am I right? You know, but we need a good pair of shoes. I'm sorry. My apologies. But yes, no, God says don't be naked. But then, of course, we go to the... Never mind. Okay. But we also, with the changing of the seasons, means that sometimes we need to have a coat. How many of you had to break out your jacket today because it was a little chilly? Yeah, I mean, we told the kids to bring your jackets because you're going outside and it might be a little cold. Or if it's raining and you have flip-flops or webbed shoes or canvas shoes and you step outside, is that suitable footwear? You know, so then you're like, well, I need some rain boots and a rain jacket and an umbrella. Oh, and I'm going to carry the emergency poncho in my purse. Anybody have that? And the backup umbrella to the backup umbrella? Okay, So what would be enough, right? And that is the hard part. What would be enough to have your basic needs met, knowing that not everybody does? There are times where we overindulge, and we may find that pair of shoes that are just so awesome, but we'll only wear them once. And then they sit in the closet. 3 years later, you're like, oh, I'll wear them again. And do you wear them again? No. Is that enough? It really makes us think about it a little bit. And the reason why I'm asking about what enough is because culture says if you have it, spend it. And if you don't have it, spend it. Which puts us into a realm of being extended beyond our means of what we actually have tangible to work with, that might mean we're going to put it on our credit card, right? Because we want it now, but we may not have the funds to pay for it now. And then it ends up costing us more, right? How many of you have heard of Dave Ramsey? Yeah. So Dave Ramsey is the secular version of this, you know, financial thing. And Saving Grace is more contextual to the Christian environment. And one of the things that I was asked, and I'm sure Pastor Amy was asked this as well, in ordination, you have to answer a variety of questions to show that you are appropriate and duly called and a set-apart example for ordained ministry. And one of the questions that they always ask is, are you in financial debt as to be an embarrassment? How many of you get asked that question on a day-to-day basis? And the thing is, here's the sad part. Most of us standing there when asked that question have just completed 3 years of seminary and are in debt in order to be in ordained ministry. And yet we all sit there and be like, no, we're not in debt. It's to be an embarrassment to the calling. And that's untruthful. And part of our conference set up an endowment fund that clergy persons can apply for to receive grant money to help pay off seminary debt. Because it's hard to do that. And it's a choice, again, that was made, at least in my life back then, that I'm still living with now. Does that make sense? Because all along I said, we should be paying for this as I go. And it was like, no, we'll just do it later. Well, now I'm doing it later. And that's a significant expense on a monthly basis. Similar to when our kids go to college, ideally we want them to go to college and walk out without their debt, right? Because they're not going to get those jobs, high-paying jobs out of college, and how are they going to be able to shelter themselves, buy food, cover health care, transportation needs if they need it, and clothing, and then the $500 student loan payment that's due every month. That we're basically robbing our future because of that choice. Which really makes me think about us in the life of the church. Part of that letter also was open transparency about the fact that this beautiful sanctuary that you are sitting in is a debt for this church. There was an expense to do the necessary HVAC improvements, reconstruction, reconfiguration, accessibility so that we would have accessible bathroom. But that debt is still lingering over us. And it is an expense this church carries every single month. And I wrestle with that because there is nothing that will kill a church faster than carrying debt. Just like in our personal lives, nothing will take away our living and our joy in life more than carrying debt we cannot pay off. And it's hard. I mean, it is absolutely hard. Because then you're having to make these choices. And so Dave Ramsey, I mentioned that only because to apply for this grant, I had to do a financial awareness class and they required me to go through it. And it was helpful. He said, you need to cut up all your credit cards. Don't ever use them again. You should not step into a restaurant until you are completely out of debt. And they use the snowball method of you pay the smallest balance first, and then you take that payment and roll it into the next one, and you keep paying. But you're living on your basic enough, right? So that everything extra can go to paying off that debt. But here's the struggle. And I'm appreciative of Pastor Amy, who sent me this article from NPR that talked about credit card use and credit card fees. When you go shopping, how many of you just swipe the card? How many of you, let me just ask this because I already know, how many of you pay for everything in cash? How many of you have cash in your wallet right now? Okay, some of you do, great. And then you go to the self-checkout line at Publix and you go to pay cash and guess what? You can't. You're going to have to go to a regular register where they can handle your cash. But at self-checkout, at least at Publix, they did away with the cash option a year ago, and it still catches people by surprise. They're like, oh, I didn't know you couldn't do a cash transaction. And I'm like, but there's a sign right there. But there are people who do pay for cash because they're not going to swipe the credit and or with the card because the cards have their own hidden fees, right? If you run it as a debit where you put in your PIN number, it automatically comes out of your account. But if you swipe it and run it as a credit, then there is a charge that business incurs for the use of you using your credit option. To the tune of, I think it was like $160 billion of credit card fees that companies have had to absorb. But here's the thing, they're not absorbing it anymore. They're passing it on to you and increasing the price of goods and services. And so when you see those prices escalating at stores and things like that, it's not only because of just product things, but also because the store, the business is passing on their additional charges to the regular thing, right? So we have to make this conscientious decision. Do we need it right now? Is it something that can wait? Is debt ever okay? Well, Scripture says, owe no one anything, right? If we go back to Old Testament, they talk about the year of Jubilee, that there were those who worked and worked, and there was no way they could pay their debt off because of their sustained living. But there was this year of Jubilee where all the debts were forgiven. So recently, when we talked about student loan debts, there was this outcry about how can you pay off people's student loans? I had to pay mine all off. Why would somebody else be able to get theirs paid off without having to do the same thing I did? So I hear that. And yet Scripture says that there should be seasons when our debts should be forgiven without any expectation or reality, right? But do you know that the greatest debt we all carry cannot be paid for by ourselves? That we are all persons who are broken. We are all persons who try to live a life that is faithful, but we cannot do it on our own. And that is where God's grace comes and works in our lives. It is Christ who gave us the greatest gift and wiped out the debt of sin for all. That is not something that we could have done for ourselves. So if that's the case, if that is something that God has done for us on our behalf, for humanity, so that we can all be reconciled fully and back in the right relationship with God, how do we live our lives in light of that? We are called to live life faithfully, to live our life recognizing that the goodness of God has been gifted to us to take care of, not to take advantage of. And that means wrestling with our own life. It also means looking at the systems of injustice that may perpetuate this cycle that we are in. Now, there may be a circumstance when you have to put that on the credit card, but my friends, what is that taking away from your life now? I didn't just spend 5 weeks talking about money for us to continue to live in the patterns that the world calls us to live in, but to really reconcile and wrestle with ourselves, to take that deep look so that we can grow in our faithful living, to receive the gift of God's grace, that we may bear witness to the world that there is another way to do it besides how the world tells us, that we may do it how God asks of us because of what God has done for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.